You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is John B. from GangreneNation.com, and you are listening to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Thursday, August 16th, 2018, a game day. If you enjoy the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. The Jets play their second preseason game of 2018 tonight. It is a road game against the Washington Redskins, and it's actually a game that should be pretty entertaining, I would guess, because these teams practiced three times in the last week, so there's been some animosity that's built up, and if you've read some of the reports from these practices, it has been intense, which is not a big surprise this time of year, because while both of these teams have played their first preseason game, they have spent the vast majority of their time practicing against their teammates, hitting their teammates, so I'd imagine that on Sunday, once these joint practices started between the Jets and Washington, it was probably exciting. The players were probably just happy to be able to hit somebody else. And things kind of built from there. And Sunday's practice, I was at that one. That was a very feisty practice. There was one big fight, and there were a couple that could have turned into something. A couple scuffles. So there was a lot going on there. And from what I understand, Monday's was quieter, but Tuesday's practice was also kind of intense. So I think that this is the type of game, I said this the other day, that this is probably as close to one of those like Stanley Cup playoff series as you'll get in the NFL, where the teams have kind of built up animosity by physically battling for half a week, three practices, and tonight's the grand finale. So it should be actually more entertaining than your typical preseason game, I would guess. These teams now know each other a little bit, and they don't seem to like each other. Today we are going to discuss five things to watch in the game between the Jets and the Redskins. So we'll start with number one, and this one I guess is somewhat obvious, but it's a very important thing to watch, and that is how Sam Darnold does. I would expect Sam Darnold will start tonight. If he doesn't, I expect he's going to get plenty of time with the first team. To this point, Sam Darnold has done everything he needs to do to put himself in a position to win the starting quarterback job week one. But Sam Darnold has not won the starting quarterback job week one. I think that will be determined tonight and maybe by next week as well. Depends on whether, if he goes out and plays great tonight, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Jets just officially name him the starting quarterback. But I also wouldn't be surprised to see this go on into week three and have the Jets take another look at Darnold week three of the preseason before they make a final determination. Darnold's been great so far in training camp, in the first preseason game. He's done everything he needs to do to stake a claim to the starting job. But that doesn't mean he's won the starting job yet. And this is going to be his biggest test of the preseason. To the extent that there's a test in the preseason, it begins tonight, because the final frontier, so to speak, will be playing well against starting defenses in a game scenario. He's played well in practice against first-team Jets defense, but that's practice. He's wearing the red jersey, which means that you're not allowed to be hit. And, you wonder the extent to which that impacts quarterbacks. There's got to be some sort of sense of security knowing that you can't hit me out there. So even when the pass rush comes, you probably don't get that as rattled as you might in games. For most quarterbacks, I would, and this is just me guessing, but I would have to imagine it's in the back of your mind. He played very well against the Falcons again preseason, but again, those were backups. Those were backups, third stringers, and some fringe players, some guys who aren't going to be on the roster. This is the big test for Darnold, because this is his chance to go up against a first team defense, and how he does will determine whether or not he takes the starting job. Now, I think in training camp and in week one of the preseason, we saw the flashes from Darnold. We saw what he could ultimately become. There have been some very impressive plays pretty much all training camp, ever since he arrived, ever since he ended his holdout. He only missed three practices. you've seen what he can become. The question is he all the way there yet? Is he just a guy who's going to show flashes at the moment, or is he a guy who's actually ready to go in and play effective football? And if he's not a guy who's ready to go in and play effective football, the Jets actually do have some other viable options. And I reiterate this because I think it's important. The Jets have done a much better job at leaving themselves some wiggle room with this rookie quarterback than they have the last two times. Back in 2009, 9 years ago, after the Jets picked Mark Sanchez in the first round, they really did not have a viable alternative to him. Kellen Clemens was really the quote-unquote competition in training camp, and they had already kind of written him off. Clemens was the former guy of the future, and the Jets picked Sanchez because they had pretty much come to the correct determination that it was not going to happen for Kellen Clemens. And it really has never happened. It's amazing how long of a career Kellen Clemens has had due to his skill set, but the Jets correctly assessed just by from watching him in the limited starts he had to that point and in practice that Clemens was not going to be a viable NFL quarterback. So back in 09, the Jets really had no choice but to start Clemens. 5 years ago, 2013, Geno Smith, Jets pick him in the second round. And they did the same thing. They tried to sign David Garrard, but Garrard was pretty much at the end of the line. He really physically couldn't hold up and had to retire before we even got to training camp. That left Sanchez, again, the recently deposed guy of the future, the recently dethroned king of the castle. And Sanchez ended up getting hurt in preseason, so it really ended up not mattering. But even if Sanchez stayed healthy, again, you put yourself in a situation where you really had no choice but to start Geno Smith because Sanchez, again, you'd moved on from Sanchez. And the signing of Garrard, you have to sign a guy who can physically hold up. I mean, it was not exactly the greatest shock in the world that Garrard could not physically hold up. The Jets have done a much better job this time. They've left themselves with other options, including Teddy Bridgewater, who could step in. And the thing is, as much as we're talking about how well Darnold has played to this point, and I think he has played well, as much as we're talking about how he has put himself in a position to win the starting job, that could all go away very quickly. Darnold goes out and throws 2-3 interceptions in the first half, and I think we all hope it doesn't happen, but it certainly could happen. He goes out and throws 2-3 interceptions in the first half, this week or next week. We're having a different discussion. He may not be the starting quarterback. It could go away. That the thing about the NFL is things change in a heartbeat. Things change quickly. So things could change quickly if Darnold doesn't go out and play well. Again, this is his biggest test. So we'll see what happens. At this point, Darnold is worth watching because he has put himself, he's put himself in position, if nothing else, to win the starting job. He's shown us what he can be in the future. The question is he all the way there right now, or are these just flashes of what's to come in the future, and would he benefit from sitting a little bit? That's the question, and we'll start to answer it tonight. I believe the second thing to watch tonight is the offensive line, and that's in part because of some of the news we got on the offensive line yesterday. Brian Winters is out the rest of the preseason. He is injured. I did not see any reports on the specifics of his injury, but Winters is banged up, so he's not going to play. Kelvin Beachum has missed plenty of time, so I'm presuming he's going to still be out. So the Jets are now going to have some backups on their offensive line. And in some ways, maybe that's a good test for Darnold. I mean, we've seen what he can do under pressure. It's one of the most impressive parts of his game. The fact that he doesn't panic under pressure, the fact he can make plays on the move, the fact he can move within the pocket. So, that's one of Darnold's most impressive attributes. And maybe this will add a little extra to that test. And you hope it doesn't create so many problems that Darnold can't function. But now we do have to watch this offensive line now, because I think everybody knows going into this season that this offensive line was not viewed as a position of strength. And as shaky as the starting group looks, once you get past the starters, you get into the territory, I think you get into the territory of, do these guys even belong in the NFL? Are these guys who could start, how many teams would these guys be getting significant playing time for? There's not a lot of depth there. So I guess the question is, can this offensive line surprise us? Can this offensive line show that, maybe there's a player we've underestimated? Maybe during the offseason, somebody's elevated their game, somebody's developed their game a little bit. And also, who's who are the primary backups at each position. It looks like Brent Quale is the backup left tackle, which on paper is really kind of a terrifying thought for the Jets. Yeah, that's, and I would add the caveat, most teams don't have a quality backup left tackle. They don't have a quality plan B at left tackle. So I guess to be fair, we do have to point that out. But that is the idea of Brent Quale protecting the blind side of your franchise quarterback, your young franchise quarterback, or anybody, is a really kind of a troubling thought. Unless he proves us wrong, unless he's shown that he's grown, unless maybe he's developed his game over the spring and summer in ways we did not appreciate, that's worth watching. Who's the primary backup who's going to start for Winters now that Winters is out? And that's an ongoing theme of Brian Winters' career, as Winters has really, he's been banged up recently. He's been banged up quite a bit. Last year he had the abdominal injury that he said impacted him the full year. Now, he finally gets healthy. Now he's hurt again. So I think, especially at right guard, you're going to have to look, because it's quite plausible that whoever is at right guard is going to have to see some playing time this year. So how effectively can they play? Can the Jets find somebody who's developed their game a little bit? Can they have they been able to develop any of these backups? These are things certainly worth watching. And also, the Jets announced that Ben Aijalon has been placed on injured reserve. They signed Gino Gretkowski, who's kind of bounced around the league since he entered. So those are more minor moves. Aijalon didn't play really much last year. He probably wouldn't. It looked like they chose Quale over Aijalon as the backup left tackle. So not really clear how much he would have played this year. Now he's on IR, but I think the key is Winters. The key thing to watch is now that Winters is out, who replaces him? How effectively do they play? Because that's the kind of thing that could have an impact on the team this year. The third thing I want to watch I'm trying to think of a good term for these guys, but these are players who have had strong camps who did not necessarily stand out week one of the preseason. So I'm thinking Trey McBride, who's a guy who's gotten some buzz, maybe a Chris Herndon, who, there have been some positive reports from him out of training camp. He missed the first preseason game. So these are guys who are fighting for more prominent roles on the roster, I would say. And in Herndon's case, he didn't have a chance to really stand out because he was hurt, but he fell behind a little bit because, it doesn't matter if you're hurt or not. If somebody else steps up and plays well, then you may have a few problems if you're in a competition. And Neil Sterling really stepped up week one of the preseason, put up a pretty solid statistical game for a tight end, and could have had more if Teddy Bridgewater Teddy Bridgewater was so good in that first game. I think Sterling was like his one miss. He missed Sterling. I think that was really the only pass he missed all game. So this is something worth watching, because at some point you have to transfer quality camp performances into game performances. I think that when we're talking position battles, when we're talking about allocating playing time, I think sometimes people do underestimate the role training camp practices have, because they actually can matter. And I think, sometimes you'll see a guy struggling and he'll still earn a roster spot. He'll still win a roster spot. He'll still earn playing time, and people will wonder why that guy looked terrible in preseason. Well, sometimes practices do matter, but in most cases, those cases tend to be rare when practice overrides game performances. I think in most cases, preseason probably carries more weight than practice. And a guy who puts together some good practices, that's encouraging. But if you don't translate that into games, it doesn't really mean, in most cases, it kind of eliminates what you're doing in practice. So these guys are going to have to go out there and produce in game scenarios if they want to earn playing time. So that's my third thing to watch. My fourth thing to watch is kind of the opposite, and that would be the guys who played strong in week one. And the question is, can they continue that? So, we just talked about Herndon at the tight end position. Can Neil Sterling continue to build on what he did week one of the preseason? The tight end actually looks like, when you talk about these bootlegs, it looks like, little drag routes to the tight ends, they're going to be a part of this offense. So whoever has that role is going to be able to produce a little bit. You know, whoever is the tight end on this team, you know, the Jets, I don't know how much of the Jets are going to threaten the seam at the tight end position. You know, I don't know if they're necessarily going to put a tight end on the field that strikes fear into anybody, but there are going to be opportunities based on the scheme the Jets are running. And the question is, do the Jets have anybody who can execute these, or are they going to have to go away from that? If you had asked me, you know, 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said the Jets are probably going to have to get away from this a little bit because there's just not a lot at the tight end position. Neil Sterling, strong first preseason game, so that's a guy worth keeping an eye on. Neville Hewitt, the reserve linebacker, and there are a bunch of linebackers on this team who have experience, who actually have a track record of adequate play in this league. So that the inside linebacker position is one of the more interesting roster battles. It's not a position battle because we know the starters. We know Darren Lee and Avery Williamson are going to start, but in terms of backups, you have Kevin Pierre-Lewis, you have Minter. You've got some guys in there with track records of decent play in the league. And Neville Hewitt played a very strong first game of the preseason. And that continued. He also played pretty well from what I saw, from what I read in Richmond against the Redskins. So he's another guy trying to build on a pretty strong start to the preseason. And you know, he may need it because, again, this is a pretty full competition. It's a roster competition. Who gets a roster spot at inside linebacker? So that's another guy to kind of keep your eye on as we roll into the second preseason game. And finally, who I have my eye on are the last chance players. That's what I'll call them. And these are guys whose roster spot is now very precarious. And I would say Lorenzo Maldon, as I did last week, but Maldon's banged up. He's not going to play in this game. So I guess the guy who really comes to mind is Ardarius Stewart, who just had a really rough first preseason game. I mean, he was really only involved in two significant plays, and they were both pretty ugly plays. And there was one where he just got lucky because there could have been an interception on the play, and it would have been his fault because of a terrible route he ran. And then later on, he just did not come up with a ball. Darnold put on the money. That, you know, Darnold put the ball where it needed to be. Should have hit Stewart in the hands. He didn't. And you know, you look last year, Stewart did not have that great of a rookie. Now, I usually don't. I always say don't expect a lot from third-round rookies. What bothered me about Stewart last year more than anything is that when the Jets picked him, he was supposed to be kind of like a wide receiver running back hybrid. He was supposed to be a guy who looked dangerous with the ball in his hands. And the Jets did manufacture some touches for him last year, and he really was not that dynamic with the ball in his hands. He was not a guy who was difficult to tackle. You know, he was supposed to be a tough runner. You know, you throw the ball, get to the ball to him on a screen, get the ball to him on an end around. He's supposed to make plays. He really was not that dangerous with the ball in his hands. And you know, when you struggle as a rookie at the wide receiver position, that's one thing, because sometimes you have to refine your route running. You can work on your route running. That's something that can be developed. What's troubling for me about Stewart is that I don't think that's true when you're talking about a situation where you have the ball in your hands, where you're like a return guy, where you're getting touches in space. That's the type of thing that I don't really know how you develop that. I think in many ways, you either have the ability to make plays or you don't. And I think coming into the league, people thought Stewart did. You know, he was a guy who was going to learn as a receiver. In the meantime, the Jets could manufacture touches for him. He'd be tough to bring down in the open field. And it really hasn't happened for him. So this is a guy he's got to do something. I mean, whether it's show he's improved as a route runner, whether it's showing he's more dynamic with the ball in his hands, he's got to do it because the time is running out for him. And I do see this a lot where a guy looks totally hopeless and then terrible first preseason game in his make-or-break year, everybody writes him off, then he goes out and plays pretty well. So I'm not totally writing Stewart off just yet, but it's getting late for him. He's gonna have to start doing something. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe iTunes or Spotify, and leave it a good review in iTunes. Enjoy your Thursday. Enjoy the game. We'll be back tomorrow to recap everything that happened.